This is the Overclocked Podcast, a regular dose of video game music and conversation from OCRemix.org. This week we have an adventure through Rebecca Tripp's Donkey Kong Country 2 medley, brush up on our Winifred Phillips history thanks to a personal note segment from Jeff McMillan, and have a barrel of fun with our old pal DK in this week's playlist. Are we having a standoff?
Yeah.
Who's going to start the episode?
Oh, you did.
What? This is the episode?
Yep.
Okay. I'm going to give this a 71% chance that it's cut out, that I won't hear it when I listen on Friday.
I give you a 100% chance that it's going to stay.
Oh, no. You can win that bet because you edit the show. So much for professionalism. Throw that out the window. And I'm also going to throw out a little greeting to everyone listening to our show. My name is Stephen Kelly, and this is my brother, Brian Kelly, and we're the hosts
of the Overclocked Podcast.
You can tell we have synergy because we're brothers.
Exactly. This is episode 73. Can you believe, Steven, we've done 73 episodes, not counting playlists?
Actually, yes. I spent a lot of my time throughout the week looking at the show notes, and I see the number of the episode a lot.
Oh.
So I can believe it. But what I can't believe is that it's finally time to have a conversation that I think has been a long time coming.
Are we taking the intros out of the episode?
No, we're enhancing them.
What?
It's time to talk about Donkey Kong.
Oh, yeah. Donkey Kong is kind of the elephant in the room, or rather the gorilla in the room. He's like, we don't really want to talk about him because all his games have undeniably horrible music. And so it's like, you don't really want to shame the big ape by talking about that.
Oh, no, you're making me angry like a Rambi now. That's a Donkey Kong illusion.
Uh-huh. Well, you're making me like an ostrich, like an espresso.
Oh, no. Okay, so what I wanted to talk about...
I'm sticking my head in the sand.
I wanted to talk about something, Ryan.
Okay.
What I wanted to talk about was Donkey Kong's strange transformation throughout Nintendo history. And how the music is... a bit weird, a bit unpredictable, and you know, because there have been lots of weird side games and rhythm games, and Dave Wise was the guy who popularized the character music wise, and then he was gone for years and recently came back. And so when we put out the call for Donkey Kong music, we suggested that people try to think outside the box, or outside the barrel as it were, and not just, you know, submit Sticker Brush Symphony every single time. And what happened is every single submission we got was from some weird side Donkey Kong game, to the point where nobody, and I mean not a single person, submitted something from Donkey Kong Country 1, 2, or 3.
Hey, at the very end, we got a Donkey Kong Country medley.
That is true, but it wasn't even the original music. So I had
this
to sneak
true.
In there and put in the subjectively and objectively best Donkey Kong country song. So we'll hear that at the very end of the episode, yeah.
All right, well, that's a nice little tease there. We're also going to have an interview with Rebecca Tripp, mm-hmm. the expert on all things Donkey Kong.
And it's just making me realize that I regret in the intro not saying that we are going to take a trip through the Donkey Kong Country 2 medley.
And we're also going to have our personal note segment is back with Jeff McMillan, mm-hmm. talking about Winifred Phillips. I'm not actually sure who that is.
Yeah, I was really happy he decided to do Winifred Phillips on this episode, because I do know about her. She did music for Little Big Planet and God of War as well.
Okay.
But I don't feel like a lot of people would be able to connect her name with the things that she worked on, so it's a very good history lesson.
Yeah, absolutely. That's cool, because yeah, I know I'd heard the name before, but I wouldn't have said those games.
Yep.
All right. Well, on that note, because music,
no.
Let's head over Mm-mm. to the Remix Rewind, no. where we run down the latest from OCRemix.org. Let's look at the
A quiet congregation sits reverent and contemplative before a mystic crystal, the depths of which they can scarcely fathom, hoping against hope it isn't stolen away by a psychotic jester or impressively armored overlord. they'll be disappointed, of course. But Rebecca Tripp gives them their moment of solace with Hymn to the Crystals, a beautiful spiritual piece that uses choir and harp to bring a new existential depth to Final Fantasy Prologue theme.
Know Jorito as the name we're chronically unable to pronounce. Turns out, he's a pretty sick glitch hop artist to boot. Kill the Groove takes a few Castlevania Order of Ecclesia tracks and absolutely slays them. You know, slays them. Like a vampire. It's really funny, please laugh.
When you combine Animal Crossing and jazz, you're pretty likely to put me into a near catatonic state of musical bliss. That may not have been AJ Despirito's intent when writing Morning Jazz, but I'd like to believe it was. Just in case Animal Crossing New Leaf wasn't relaxing enough, this track eases you into the day like a smooth cup of Java. All we're missing is that essential shot of pigeon milk.
At this point, when I say brilliant symphonic Dark Souls mix, I really shouldn't have to name the artist. But I will anyway. Rotaka is back with The Curse That Binds Us, doing tragic justice to the soulbound princes from Dark Souls 3. Relish the moment, since this is going to be Rotaka's last Souls mix for a while. But don't worry, he'll still keep the non-Souls music coming. He's got plenty of fresh material and even a new album in the works. We'll be right back.
like, oh, hey, it's me. Man, I sound way more robotic and groovier than I remembered. And I'm cool with this. Sir Nuts was gracious enough to enlist my voice box once more for The Demon Star, a Phantasy Star 2 remix that, quite frankly, is the absolute bomb. Made as a gift to the Sega Mixer Drive show from Radio Sega, Sir Nuts went for a synthwave style, tinged with a grungy darkness that absolutely paid off.
We have a bit of a remixer inception here, with DDR Kirby remixing one of Hal C's works, a delightful track from Bitstream. Ebb and Flow is a sharp, perfectly controlled bit of chiptune that really demonstrates the mastery DDR Kirby has earned over the medium. Sit back, relax, and let the sonic tide carry you away.
Have a Kirby Canvas Curse track, which means I'm legally obligated to open this with telling you to go play Kirby Canvas Curse. With that out of the way, we can bask in Jay Daster 64's beautiful piano performance, Sunrise Over the Silver City. Hear that? That's the sound of my seething jealousy at these impressive piano chops. But hey, it's Kirby music, so nobody can stay mad for long. Thank you.
I'll admit, I'd never heard of the Silver Case before this track. But if this is any indication of the 1999 visual novel's overall soundtrack, I might have to check it out. The chill, jazzy vibes bring back memories of wandering the synth-infused futuristic landscapes of Phantasy Star Online. And that, in my book, is a very good thing. These remixes and more, head over to ocremix.org.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the InTune interview. It's me, Steven, your loyal interview companion. And today I think we have someone who most of you will be familiar with because she's been on the show a couple of times before. Rebecca Tripp has returned once again to the Overclock podcast. Hey Rebecca, welcome.
Hi.
It's last time we talked about Twilight Princess. The time before that was Final Fantasy VI, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're, of course, going to do another beloved Square RPG this week. I'm just kidding. We're going to talk about Donkey Kong Country 2, which I'm pretty hyped about.
I was confused there for a second. All right.
It was a fake out. But anyway, for people who maybe don't remember you or just need a refresher, give us a little intro. Like, what kind of music are you working on these days?
I'm working on a lot of different types of things, but my primary interest is in orchestral medleys and Celtic and sort of New Agey arrangements of game music. The main thing's the original work, but
right.
I have to admit, the medleys are the most fun thing that I do.
Yeah, and those can be kind of enormous. Like, some of them have gone up to like half an hour or something. I don't know what your longest is to date.
Longest one is still the Twilight Princess one.
Still
that's 31 minutes.
Okay. 31. I remember back then editing that episode and being like, okay, I can't play this whole thing for sure, but how much of it can I get in? Because 30 minutes would literally be half of an Overclock podcast episode, so we kind of had to book it. But
luckily, this one's only 22 minutes.
Oh, thank goodness. Donkey, a nice short one. Donkey Kong is a pretty hard left, you know, stylistically when compared to something like Twilight Princess. Let's start there. How did you decide that you wanted to invest so much time and energy into DKC2?
Well, Donkey Kong Country 2 is actually one of my favorite video games. And I hadn't done very many covers for it.
Mm-hmm.
At that point, I'd only done one, which was the Sticker Brush Symphony. Or Sticker Bush. People can't really decide.
Right.
I just wanted to do something different. But the actual thing that really made me want to do this was my brother. Because I was going to make a medley for him. It was actually going to be Minish Cap, and because that's one of his favorite games. But when I brought that up to him, he said he'd rather have Metroid Prime or Donkey Kong Country 2.
Oh.
And both were very tempting.
Yeah.
Donkey Kong Country 2 was what we chose, though, because I guess when it boiled down to it, that was the game that he and I had the most memories with playing together.
Oh, that's awesome. That's such a fun game to play with someone else. I feel like especially a sibling.
Well, I was mostly just watching him play. I've always kind of enjoyed watching, well, both of my brothers play video games. It's a really big part of my childhood.
Mm-hmm.
I started playing on my own a bit later on, but it started that way.
But between Donkey Kong Country 1 and 2, I think 1 was the one, that was one of my big childhood games. I'd invite myself over to go play it at a friend's house, and we had...
Yeah, that was that way for us, too.
Donkey Kong Country 2 I came to a lot later, though, so I don't quite have the nostalgic pull for it. But I think as a whole, it's probably probably the better game, and the soundtrack is incredibly good.
Yeah, it's top tier of top tiers. Yes. Donkey Kong Country 2.
Every time I listen to it again, I'm amazed at how evocative and surprisingly complex it is, considering it's on such limited hardware.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's actually kind of a good way to roll into a first question about your arrangement. The genre in this game, the musical genre, really jumps around a lot.
Yeah.
How did you mix all of that together and give your spin on it?
Well, the process is not actually that different from the other medleys. At a glance, it might seem like this soundtrack is diverse, but if you look at, say, Final Fantasy IX, or even Chrono Trigger had a huge diversity of genres. It's just that it's all with the same sound font, so it sounds like it's all the same.
That's true, yeah.
But with this one, it's true that there was a little bit more of a starkness between certain things. Like, for example, the roller coaster level is nothing like the forest level, right?
Yes.
They sound like they could even be different composers, unless you kind of get used to the nuances of David Weiss, right?
Mm-hmm.
And even then, like, he's definitely diverse. I actually did kind of what I did with the Twilight Princess one, where I divided it into different chapters, so to speak. So the first part was the pirate section.
Mm-hmm.
So that had the below decks. It starts with a guy sitting on the deck playing accordion, or perhaps he's below the decks. I guess he should be below the decks.
To be thematically proper, yes.
Yeah, he's playing it very slowly, you know, and he's getting into it. And it winds up, and I'm trying to wind us up almost like we're opening a storybook, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And what I did was I used the piratey sounding songs in succession from the ones that sounded more like folk music, slowly turning into the ones that sound more like movie music and orchestral music.
Right.
So, for example, the Jib Jig is kind of like a cross between Below Decks and the title theme in its aesthetic. It sounds still like it could be an Irish song. It's still got that kind of archaic quality, but it also kind of goes over the top with the melody. It's more about adventure than it is about being historically accurate.
Right.
And then you get to the title theme, and then it's not archaic. It's sort of the pirate version of archaic. Pirate's kind of like its own theme altogether.
Once you kind of get off the pirate ship, I guess, it's like story-wise, how did you decide where to go next? Like, did you try to do this in some sort of chronological order, or did you have another storytelling motif?
There's always a little bit of a storytelling motif and a little bit of a consideration for chronological order. Mm-hmm. It really depends what sounds better musically when I get to it. But in this case, I was trying to imagine commonalities between the levels that we're shifting between.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, Lockjaw's Saga, or the ship hold theme, that's the underwater music when you're in the ship graveyard. I mean, that still has the ships in common with the first tracks.
Right.
It's still piratey, but it's piratey and dungeony.
Right. You're trying to move into the proper adventure.
Exactly. So after that, I guess adventure is I actually name the arcs when I'm working, and the second arc I did name adventure.
Oh,
as you
cool.
say.
Very good.
Yeah.
Very good.
And once there, we go to the island because that's where the monkeys would naturally go after they're done swimming out of the ship graveyard or wherever they happen to be. And they find themselves on the island and they look up and everything's hostile. It's sort of out of the frying pan and into the fire. So I upped the ante with all the cinematic orchestral sounds, I guess. we're establishing a military presence on the island. And that's sort of a part that's downplayed in the story of Donkey Kong Country 2, because a lot of the story has to be inferred.
Mm-hmm.
But the castles are not of monkey design. Right? Everything the monkeys make is natural, it's made out of wood, mm-hmm. it's in harmony with the world they're living in. The reptiles, everything they create is barbaric, invasive, and reminiscent of colonialism.
Mm-hmm. They're the Saruman of the Donkey Kong world.
That's exactly right. The medley is we're moving out of the adventure part, but very slowly, and that's as the dungeons get less creepy gradually.
Mm-hmm.
And then they start to get cool. When we're done with the adventure part, the levels are also getting slightly more natural.
Mm-hmm.
There's sort of a dungeon break where you have to pass through a bunch of natural barriers, such as the beehives and the lava and everything, before mm-hmm. we can get to the next part where the reptiles are messing with the monkeys.
Right. The I think it must be the beehive level. It's Flight of the Zinger.
Mm-hmm.
That always stuck out in my mind in the original game for being so intense.
Oh, yeah.
It's like clutch your controller, heart racing sort of intense.
They managed to make all of those Zinger levels feel really down to the wire.
Yes.
The Zinger part was meant to be a pinnacle of fear and intensity of the natural world.
Mm-hmm.
So that kind of fits with what we were talking about, those levels being very tense. I tried to kind of amplify that with some of the effects. I did a lot of panning. I used sort of a surround sound. I had different people plucking pizzicato strings mm-hmm. in different locations so that it would sound like there's stuff happening all around you.
Perhaps like several bees rotating around your vicinity.
Exactly. Rotating and milling around, right? And I switch instruments constantly, so that main background noise that you hear in the track, you know, mm-hmm. really fast mm-hmm. part, it's actually about 7 or 8 different instruments switching between them, and they're all in different positions, like a hive mind communicating. And I wanted to make the melody part very smooth like honey, you know, mm-hmm. you're gliding along, but overwhelm the listener with input in almost a psychedelic manner. It's not meant to be unpleasant, it's just meant to be intense, and I figured that would be a really good place to shift to the roller coaster level, which is kind of oversaturation of brain chemicals.
I thought you were going to skip over Disco Train, honestly, because it has such a, a weird sound, and like it seems like Dave Wise even like added in these super compressed like screams of
he did,
which kind of like it sounds like an amusement park, like a roller coaster, but it also adds kind of a horror element on top of that.
Yes.
And
I love that. Well, I thought it would be by far the most fun track in the medley.
Mm-hmm.
I chose it because I thought it would be a very interesting challenge, because that track, just the original track, is not anything like my music.
Right.
So I thought, how am I going to make this fit? Whenever I'm trying to come up with the order to put songs in it, it's sort of a philosophy that goes behind it, right? Mm-hmm. There's story reasons, and then there's also the emotional journey I want to take the listener in, right? So I thought, okay, this will be just like a roller coaster. The Flight of the Zinger built you up to a really tall height of tension musically,
right?
And Funky comes after the Disco Train, and Funky is a very relaxed song, even though it's upbeat
mm-hmm.
in comparison. So it was kind of like this Disco Train level takes you through the ultimate climax and then suddenly drops you, and the scream is like a big emotional release, mm-hmm. right?
The adrenaline rush is over, and now you can relax a little bit.
And you can slide into the next songs, which are very relaxing in a different kind of way from the conclusion songs. I was thinking, disco is not exactly a genre that's easy to reproduce with orchestral instruments. Mm-hmm. So I figured the closest thing to it that I've ever heard was brass band jazz.
Oh.
Because it has some kind of similar types of syncopation.
Right.
So I decided to let the trombone carry the majority of it. I also changed one of the instruments to a bell because I wanted it to be reminiscent of the people who come by and nearly hit you. You know, you hear the bells, it's ding,
right,
ding, ding,
right, right. Coming closer. And what did you use for the screams in the background?
It was really hard to find the right sound. I spent many hours looking for it, and I ended up finding samples of different types of screams, and mm-hmm. they all just sounded like people were getting murdered, mm-hmm. or like none of them sounded right. In the end, I found a recording of a bunch of girls screaming for the Beatles.
I love that backstory. You did not disappoint.
There are actually other sounds hidden in the track too. Right as we switch to Funky the Main Monkey, there's actually a guy's voice. It's really quiet, but he goes, yeah, like that.
A classic Funky quote. That's pretty good. Yeah. That's pretty good. And I mean, I assume like if you have like a 23 or 22 minute medley, you can include a lot of little Easter eggs or tiny moments that people are not going to catch the first way through.
Funky the Main Monkey is so seamless with the disco train. I had to change a lot of things, change the key and everything to make it. But they have a very similar kind of tone to them, except one is very, very manic and one is very chill. But they kind of complete each other.
Two sides of the same coin.
Exactly. And Mining Melancholy, I figured out from listening to the rhythm of the funky song that I could kind of transition the rhythm and percussion from there to the classic hammer sounds of the mining song. The mining and the disco train were my two favorite parts of the entire medley. And the mining one I've been looking forward to. For many years I've planned to use these Anvil VSTs that I have.
Oh.
Because I wanted to do just standalone version of the song, which I ended up doing. I made a different export for just the mining song where I extended it and added some variations and stuff.
Oh, cool.
But yeah, this one I used a whole bunch of different things. There's orchestral sound effects where people are hitting different various metal objects in the orchestra, and then there's anvils, and there's sort of bell sound effects, and they use them all together to create the sounds of far away and close by percussive hammering and mining. I started out the part kind of sounding industrial and metallic, and I wanted to have it more rhythmic and show the unnatural aspect of the mining. Mm-hmm. But on the second part of the mining song, I emphasized the natural part because I always really enjoyed this juxtaposition of seeing all the man-made objects and all the TNT and mm-hmm. all the tools and everything and scaffolding. And then in the background are these gorgeous crystals and you kind of feel in awe of their presence. And you can't really have the industrial part without the crystals mm-hmm. or vice versa and have it be the same level. There's something about that juxtaposition.
That is super cool. I also like how you're able to sort of further that sort of opposite relationship by moving in directly from the mining level into the sort of pure crystallized snow world that
yes.
then moves into like the two sort of gorgeous forested, I guess, peaceful tracks.
Yeah, and that was intentional. I put a lot of thought behind that. The Snowbound Lounge, I figure, would be kind of like an anti-climax to the mining song's climax, mm-hmm. or the second part of it. It's a song that unwinds you. It's kind of a little plateau where you can rest for a little while because all the other songs were getting so manic.
Right.
Even the mining song has a lot of mania to it at certain parts. From my perspective, anyway, that type of rhythm has a very intense, ecstatic quality to it for a lot of listeners. It's just like the Magitek Factory
mm-hmm.
in those types
yes.
of songs, right?
Yes.
So I thought, yeah, that the ice crystals are kind of like the cave crystals. They're both cavernous sounding songs.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the soft, pure version. Here's the kind of beauty you can get just naturally without having to work for anything or destroy anything. Here's a chance for the listener to just appreciate beauty in its raw form.
Yeah, and I feel like it's a deceptively beautiful track. It doesn't get mentioned all that often, I feel, comparatively. And I don't think I noticed it back when I played the game years ago, at least, and got to that level, because I think I was so focused on staying alive that I wasn't really listening to the music.
Yeah, but that's part of the virtue of the track. It's meant to be subtle.
And then we kind of move into the very ending. You've got the forest interlude and the sticker brush symphony.
The forest theme in this medley, I think, is sort of like the jewel. That this is, I'm doing this on purpose now, this is the Lothlorien of the song. it's like an emerald segment that you stop through and just enjoy this pure, natural beauty.
Right.
The forest interlude was an interesting challenge because there are bird sounds in the song. Mm-hmm. And the birds are rhythmic and musical.
Yeah.
They're used as a MIDI track, you know, or like a MIDI track. I have actual bird sounds in it, but I used a bunch of instruments to try and create the sound of cyclical bird song.
Mm-hmm.
So I used glockenspiel and piccolo and harp and clarinet to try and create this textured, resonant/dissonant sound of birds piping in the trees.
Come up to the finale in Stricker Brush. What did you want to achieve there? Did you just want to sort of reproduce the sounds and feelings from the original, or give it something new?
A little bit of both. I wanted to elaborate on it because people have heard the song so often,
right,
that they're sick of it. So I wanted to put a lot of variations and make it very long, and really needed to do justice to this piece, but it's just been covered again and again and again. So I tried really hard to make it sound original while simultaneously preserving the nostalgia.
Right.
So I added in a ton of layers to this one. All instruments play at some point, except for the anvil. Mm-hmm. And the idea with it, from a psychological perspective, was to release all remaining tension. Even the forest interlude has a bit of tension. It's just a different type. This one, I want the player to suddenly let go of all gravity and very slowly float upwards.
So when you finally finished up the DKC2 medley, what did you feel like you sort of learned from that? Like, what were your big takeaways?
Definitely learned to use my VSTs better. Mm-hmm. It was definitely it was good practice, let's put it that way. This was probably one of the ones that took me the longest and I worked the hardest on.
Oh, nice.
So that for sure. I also feel like I had to think outside my box a little bit with the arrangement. Mm-hmm. Because David Weiss is very unique. He uses a lot of different styles and effects that aren't typical for me or the other composers I usually like to make covers for.
Right.
My music is typically more atmospheric than, say, Final Fantasy. So it's kind of interesting. If I was doing a Final Fantasy medley, I'd often... Well, maybe not a medley, but just a cover. I might take a very melodious track and then make it more atmospheric.
Mm-hmm.
In this case, I'm trying to bring the melody out.
Right.
And, I mean, the melodies are... They're very prominent, but they're definitely meant to be part of a tapestry.
And this is actually kind of a good segue into other stuff you've been working on recently. Is there anything that you're especially excited about to kind of talk about here before we finish up?
Oh, yeah. Very exciting.
Okay.
I've had a few different people offer to perform my music live mm-hmm. this year. So one of those is going to be happening on November the 1st. My Temple of Time choral piece is going to be performed.
That one was a good one. Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, I had to write lyrics for it. It's no longer gibberish.
Oh, wait. How did you... That's a whole new interview, I guess. How did you do that? short version, how did you do that?
I made a whole bunch of notes of all the things I wanted to include and broke them up into different sections that seemed to logically flow together and turned those into lyrics.
Oh. Yeah, that was actually a really efficient summary. Cool.
I'm also going to have my Chrono Trigger medley performed live by a small orchestra next year in the summer.
Oh, that's awesome.
So I'm going to be on all my social media, that there's going to be information about that as it comes. So I'll keep you updated about that too.
Very cool. And where can people find said social media information?
My YouTube channel, Rebecca E. Tripp. I have a Facebook fan page that I link to on the bottom of all my videos and also just on the YouTube main page.
That sounds very good. I'm looking forward to hearing all of that. Thanks again, and we're going to head back to the show now.
Howdy, folks. I'm Jeff McMillan, and this is A Personal Note. A Personal Note shows a composer's works throughout his or her career and catalogs the evolution of his or her compositional techniques. For this week's segment, we will look at the life and career of Winifred Phillips, the composer for a number of games such as God of War, Assassin's Creed 3 Liberation, and the Little Big Planet series. Winifred Phillips began her musical journey by participating in band during her junior high and high school years. Her band directors discovered that she was a quick learner and regularly asked Winifred to play multiple instruments as vacancies in the band occurred. She made the most of these opportunities, and that gave her the skills necessary to begin composing her own music. One of Winifred's major compositional influences was John Adams, a modern composer of classical music and opera with strong ties to minimalism. She was also an avid gamer growing up, and when she began composing her own music, her early musical works were for a different medium altogether. Winifred Phillips first began composing for Radio Tales, a radio drama that aired on National Public Radio in the early to mid-90s. She was in charge of writing the scores that underlied the stories that were being read by the show's host, Winnie Waldron, who was also her producer. Together, they brought many works of classic literature to life, such as 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea, Mask of the Red Death, and The Time Machine. This work would eventually lead Sony Computer Entertainment America to reach out to Winifred in 2004 to write the score for the game that would jumpstart her video game music career, God of War. God of War was the first video game release for Winifred Phillips in 2005 for the PlayStation 2, PlayStation 3, and PlayStation Vita. Her prevalent orchestral influences dominate the score, while ancient and ethnic instruments add more color to give God of War its signature sound. Examples of this include tracks like Zeus's Wrath Divine. Thanks to the success of God of War, she was able to write scores for several games from 2005 to 2008, including Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, The Da Vinci Code, Shrek and Roll, Shrek the Third, Speed Racer, and The Maw. Then, in 2009, Winifred Phillips wrote the score for two games developed by Maxis, a subsidiary of Electronic Arts, Sim Animals and Spore Hero. In these two games, she would continue to exercise her orchestral chops while maintaining her minimalistic roots with tracks such as Grassy Glen from Sim Animals. Mushroom Valley from Spore Hero. Shortly thereafter, Winifred would write the music for Legend of the Guardians, The Owls of Ga'Hoole, in 2010, before getting her next big break the following year when she would begin working on the music for the Little Big Planet series, which was developed by Media Molecule, starting with Little Big Planet 2. Here, the inclusion of licensed music meant that there would be less room for original content, but that was where Winifred Phillips was able to shine. Her crowning achievement here is Victoria's Lab. She would continue to work on the Little Big Planet series and revisit the God of War series with the following releases over the next year: Toy Story DLC, God of War Saga, Little Big Planet for PS Vita, Karting, and Cross Controller. Ubisoft would quickly reach out to Winifred and utilize her amazing compositional skills in Assassin's Creed 3 Liberation, which was released in 2012. Here, her orchestral prowess would gain a more cinematic flair to match the style of the game. One such example of this is in the track Aveline's Escape. Winifred Phillips would continue to write scores for several more games from 2012 to 2015, ranging from titles in the Little Big Planet and Assassin's Creed series to titles like Fighter Within, Clash of Kings, and Call of Champions. Then, in 2015, she wrote the score for Creative Assembly's game Total War Battles Kingdom. Here, she would revisit the epic orchestral tones that she utilized from God of War to create the soundtrack. This could be heard in the track War for Albion. In 2016, Winifred would compose the music for rival stars College Football before her next big break with Homefront: The Revolution, a first-person shooter developed by Deep Silver. Here, she would continue to refine her signature sound with tracks like Ashgate Yellow Zone. From Homefront: The Revolution's release until now, Winifred Phillips has been working on the scores for two of the three expansions of Homefront: The Revolution, Aftermath and Beyond the Walls. She is also writing the music for Dragonfront, Winifred's first VR title, and its expansions Essence and Delirium. For more information about Winifred Phillips, her work, and to see the many awards she has earned throughout her illustrious career, check out her website at www.winifredphillips.com. For those interested in taking the next step to becoming a composer for games, check out her book, A Composer's Guide to Game Music. Until next time, take it easy, everybody.
Like this, this, like that, like that, that.
I like it, I like it!
Hoo boy.
Hoo boy indeed. That's not really as catchy as our usual catchphrase.
I'm not sure. We could go with Great Gonzo.
Great, I like that. Can okay. that be our thing? Is that copyright?
Great Gonzo.
Great Gonzo, man. What a show.
Oh, really? You just ruined the whole right. point of that.
I did. Thanks, everybody, for making it this far. I hope you've enjoyed it. Enjoyed what you've listened to so far.
Absolutely. And if you have, you can hear more at ocremix.org.
Mm-hmm. You can find our show there along with like 1,000,000 remixes from across 1,000,000 games. You can also follow us on Twitter at OCR Podcast if that's your jam.
You can email us at podcast@ocremix.org if that's your jam.
And if your jam is Discord, then, well, let me tell you, I didn't really have anything to follow that up with. If wow. your jam is Discord, then we have the same taste in jam.
No, oh my gosh.
I told you I'm off today.
You're really off today. Anyway, yeah, we have a Discord server. Go to our, where can you find it? Our Twitter?
Yeah, just go to our Twitter account. It's a pinned tweet at the top. And we would love to see you over on Discord and talk with you and be friends with you.
Absolutely. Speaking of friends, thank you to Rebecca Tripp for the interview and Jeff McMillan for his segment.
Yep, you can find, information on both of them in the show notes, but Rebecca Tripp has a YouTube channel that you can check out, and Jeff McMillan has a website where you can find all kinds of stuff from him.
Faux shizzle. And finally, we're moving on to the playlist. The playlist is a weekly collection of listener-submitted recommendations so we can all discover music together. This week's theme is Donkey Kong music. Contraption Cave from Donkey Kong King of Swing and submitted by Patchpin.
Jump Up Superstar 8-Bit Remix, originally from Super Mario Odyssey, remixed by Bulby and submitted by JH Sounds.
from Donkey Kong Country Returns Tropical Freeze and submitted by Square Evil.
City from Diddy Kong Racing and submitted by Jack.
Stage 9-8, originally from Donkey Kong 94, remixed by Game Metal, and submitted by Kyle J. CRB.
Mushroom Mayhem from Mario vs. Donkey Kong 2 and submitted by Joseph G.
Oh.
Mirage's Races from Diddy Kong Racing and submitted by Yami.
Bonus Barrage from Donkey Kong Land and submitted by John.
Donkey Kong Country, originally from Donkey Kong Country, remixed by Video Games Live and submitted by Phoenix Down.
Cranky's Conga from Donkey Kong Country 2 and submitted by me. You've been listening to the Overclocked Podcast. Next week's playlist is Mario Music. Bring your finest Mushroom Kingdom beats to our celebration of Super Mario Odyssey's launch. To submit your suggestions,
or just say, it's me, music,
hit us up on Twitter at OCR Podcast. Email us at podcast@ocremix.org, or visit us on the forums at ocremix.org. This week's lyrical wisdom,
all the small things, true care, truth brings.